America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
All of a sudden, you blink and the Pirates are in last place in the NL Central. 11 games behind the Brewers. They're 5 games back of a wild card spot. They're losers of 7 in a row in 9 of their last 10. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? And joining us now to discuss is our good friend, former Bucko, current Pirates broadcaster, Neil Walker, and he's brought to you by Bet365, and he joins us on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. First of all, Neil, good morning to you. Do you want us to start with something positive, or should we just get right down to the nitty-gritty?
Good morning to you guys. Why don't we start with the negative and work our way back to a positive finish to this conversation?
Okay, so now you look at the standings, and all of a sudden you're in a really tough spot. And we were calculating it earlier, Neil, that in order to get to that 84 win mark, which got the teams into the postseason each of the last 2 years as the final wild card, you got to go like 28-17 the rest of the way. What do you think the feeling in the clubhouse is like? You've been through this. It's starting to kind of feel a little 2011-like. So how do you just focus on that next game?
Yeah, you really got to rally. You got to kind of trick yourselves into not really getting caught up into what's going on in front of you as far as the teams. But at the same time, you have to know where you're at and what hurdles you have to climb. I think going into this second half of the season, number one, your hope was that the team would add, and you figured that they would add at the very minimum a little bit, and they did that. I thought they upgraded, even though it wasn't from a huge capacity. And then you kind of look at the schedule too, and that stretch where they went to Phoenix and Houston. And essentially, we're just kind of treading water, but in a good way. I mean, you come off of that road trip with those two teams, 3-3. You got to feel pretty good about yourself. But then you get home and you're staring at a homestand with two really good teams in the Padres and the Diamondbacks again. And, you hope at the very, very minimum you go 3-3 on that homestand, more like 4-2, taking care of business at home. And that doesn't happen. And then in my brain, and not so much as a player, but having gone through it after the fact, you're going, oh boy, now we got to go out and play three weekend games in LA, a place that's very difficult to play. And then you're almost walking into another buzzsaw south of LA in San Diego against a team that just took 2 or 3 from you at home. So, it's just across the board too. You're team scoring runs, and then the back end of bullpen's not really holding up. The starters are kind of doing what they've done for the most part of the year, and then you're not scoring runs. It's just been a confluence of not great all-around baseball, at least for the last, call it week and a half, 2 weeks now.
Neil, let's focus on a positive. Andrew McCutchen, 2 home runs yesterday. Should the Pirates legitimately look into re-signing Andrew McCutchen next year? Let's take off your Pirates bias, Andrew McCutchen bias hat for a second, if you can. Should they logistically sign Andrew McCutchen back next year?
Yeah, look, and I've talked to Andrew, and he's stated kind of the same thing that he's told me, was just like, hey, look, if I feel capable of playing, and I feel capable of at least running out there as a in some type of platoon role or in a DH capacity, and feel physically capable of taking, call it 400 plus at bats, I'm going to continue to play. And I think that's kind of holding true. Of course, right now you're hearing him go through his quad issue, and yesterday was just unbelievable. Like, to have an ailment, especially a lower body ailment in baseball, and to hit two home runs, or to do what he did just in general, and knowing that you're not going to be able to leg out a single into a double or a double into a triple, and just to put it all out there and essentially will that team into extra innings yesterday was incredible. So I just think the biggest question is, if you bring Andrew back, are you getting those 400 at bats, and are you getting the option of potentially throwing him out in the outfield every once in a while if you need to, whether that be, guys needing to get at bats, or having young guys come up and maybe not be great defensive players, and you feel like the best at bats are at the DH spot. You just don't want to block a guy like that. And Andrew, what I mean is, and if he's finishes the season on a real high note, which it seems like hopefully that'll be the case, and he's healthy, I think you basically say that to him. Look, we're willing to bring you back, but you may not be playing 6-7 days a week.
Right.
Are you capable of being productive 3-4 days a week? And if you are, let's have a conversation.
Neil Walker's joining us here on the Fan Morning Show, and the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by our friends at Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. David Bednar has been struggling. Everybody sees that, Neil, but you got the eye for the game. Is it a confidence thing with Bednar? Is he fighting through something physically, a nagging injury, something like that? Because for the last 2 years, the guy's been absolutely lights out, and apart from a stretch this year, he's just not been the same cat.
Yeah, I don't see any. I thought that you might see some rust when he had a shortened spring training. I remember playing in one off season. I signed really late with the Yankees, and I had the worst first month and a half of my entire life, really, not even career, but life, big league career. But so I thought that we might see him come out of the blocks a little slow. And when he did and got through it, I was like, oh, thank goodness. This is an important piece if this team's going to move forward. He just doesn't seem as sharp as he did in the past. We got so used to seeing him really use the curveball fastball combination to the right-handers, and the curveball fastball split to the left-handers, and just do it with ease. Just pump 95 plus at the top of the zone. Some get me over breaking balls that if a hitter swung at him, they were either missing or fouling off, and then putting guys away with the split. I think the biggest thing that I notice is that the split is just not quite as effective as it has been in the past. I see the fastball and the curveball being pretty effective, but for a back end of the bullpen guy, if his curveball doesn't act like his slider, his curveball, if it's up in the zone, it is hittable. It typically isn't. We haven't seen it get hit hard. It's usually a get me over for a strike pitch and not a strikeout pitch. So if that fastball at the top of the zone is not getting chased and is not effectively getting swing and misses, and your split's not getting swing and misses, that's where we can see David Bednar struggle a little bit. And, yesterday, especially two innings, we haven't seen him do that in a long, long time. Did a nice job, grinding through the first inning. And then that second inning, Hernandez puts a really good at bat on him, or both Hernandez's put really good at bats on him to, essentially get a swept there in LA. But I think that he's going to be all right, but I do think that he's just not quite right this year.
Neil, how'd your guy Stephen Brault do in your mind?
Boy, I thought he did really good. I really did. It's crazy to me. You guys are in the media world and the radio world, but I can't fathom, coming from a baseball background, and Greg Brown and Joe Block, guys like that have wanted to do that their entire life. And so when you see them work on a daily basis and you watch how they prepare, at least in accordance to what the color guys do, I'll go to work and do a little bit, but I'm looking at these guys and they do not stop. They don't stop with the information and all that. So I feel very inept and very much like I do absolutely nothing when I go to the ballpark. And then you hear a guy like Brault, who played and wants to do that and says that he wants to do it. I can't fathom that. But then to hear him put it into play, it's so impressive. So I don't know about how you guys felt, but in general, I thought he was phenomenal.
Oh, we thought he was great.
Awesome.
I mean.
I didn't know who it was for like a half of the game. And then they panned it. I was like, that's Stephen Brault? Like, it sounded like he was in the booth for 20 years. It's amazing.
Yeah, Greg Brown took his break to get to his son's wedding. Yeah, I think it's probably his first time off in about 20 plus years. And boy, what a great job Stephen did. So I imagine you'll see him in that capacity, whether it's in a small form here or in another place down the road. He's got the tools to be a really good play-by-play guy.
Neil, you're the man. Thanks for jumping on with us. We appreciate it.
All right, you guys have a great week, huh?
You too.
Thanks, Neil.
Neil Walker. Hopefully next time we talk to Neil, they'll have won like 6 straight games, get themselves back into it. Mm. Don't feel good about that.
No.
They're hurting my heart, Doran.
I can tell.
And heart disease kills one person every 33 seconds. Schedule your heart screening at UPMC today. I kind of just got hit with a thought as Neil was wrapping up there. We were talking about Andrew McCutchen. Give him a first baseman's mitt. I'll let him slide one of those on. Not every day. Not every day. Every now and again. A little first baseman's mitt. Gonna have a hole.
Don't you want a legit first baseman?
Yeah, I'm not sure they'll get one of those either.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I want a bat at that position too, like a power bat.
Yep, don't have that. Don't have that. I'm thinking of solutions. I'm solution-oriented. And you want to keep Andrew McCutchen around, but you need to have some roster flexibility, and right now he only DHs for you. I'm just thinking that there's that whole scene from Moneyball. It can't be that hard, can it? It's incredibly difficult.
Yeah, very hard.
It's not easy. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. In a sea of football news over the weekend, there is one story that locally should not be flying under the radar, but I feel like it is. We'll let you know what that is when we come back.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
There's a football story that has a local tie that went viral this weekend and then, whoop, just disappeared. Well, we're going to make sure we bring that back for you in just a couple of minutes. Doran, are you interested, though, in new kickoff statistics?
Sure.
So this is from John Breach, who is an NFL writer for CBS Sports. 82% of kicks were returned. Now, that is in comparison to 22% of kicks in 2023. Holy cheese and crackers, Batman.
Mm-hmm.
You had 4 returns of more than 45 yards, and you had 3 super touchbacks. That means the ball goes out to the 40-yard line. Is that the official term? Because I Googled super touchbacks. I haven't seen it described that way anywhere else.
How does a super touchback work? Like
it's funny you ask.
You roll into the end zone?
That's why I Googled it. If the ball lands outside of the landing zone.
So it lands in the end zone?
I guess it could be the end zone or in front of the landing zone.
Okay.
Then the touchback would move to the 40-yard line.
Okay.
So you had three super touchbacks, four returns of more than 45 yards, 82% of kicks returned, and then the Chiefs actually gave up a safety because they didn't know the rules. I don't know if you saw that. Yeah, it was goofy. I can't explain it. So I think early returns are, it's what you want if you're in the NFL. I mean, you want a competitive pseudo play from scrimmage kind of feel. And if you had 82% of the kicks return, which is up 60% year over year, yeah, I think they would say it's in a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
And the Steelers got creative without getting creative, and you had John Rhys Plumlee returning a couple of kicks.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, man, do you think he makes the roster?
He might. I know he's been playing at receiver a little bit, too, if he could be the fourth quarterback. He might not make the roster. He might be practice squad, but
yeah,
he's going to be around for
yeah,
sure. And he probably will be active at some point in the season, returning
two,
kicks.
Yeah, two kickoff returns, had a long of 23. I mean, I didn't think he looked out of place.
No. And he could, I mean, I do think that this rule, with this new kickoff rule, I think this is going to give teams the ability to expand on it. And as the season goes on, you're going to see some different things. And you're going to see teams get really creative. Like the Steelers having a quarterback back there that was a college quarterback that can run. You could see them doing some different things with them.
Yeah, and I don't think that the statistics that we just brought up is necessarily telling in that it's going to hold true. That, like, we're just going to see 82% of kicks return from here on out. I think that number could fluctuate because we're not seeing everything that these teams have to offer, to your point. Like, I think you're right. I think we're going to see a lot of throwback stuff.
Yep.
I think you're going to see teams with athletic quarterbacks try to do it with just like the John Rhys Plumlee kind of thing. Like, I think you're going to see Taysom Hill back there
yes,
for sure
yes,
for the New Orleans Saints. So I don't know if the percentages stay the same. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. But if it maintains, if it's a reasonable facsimile of this going forward, then this is not going to be just a one-and-done thing.
Mm-mm.
And I think there was some concern with what you heard out of training camps and how messy it's been that it's going to look awful and you might not see this thing around longer than through 2025. If they're going to be this many kicks return, you're going to see this thing forever.
Yeah, I mean, if there's numbers that could back it and facts that could back it, they're going to keep it.
Yes.
I mean, that's just it's how everything goes. If the numbers are accurate and they equate to success, yeah, it's going to stay around.
Yeah, because they want a play that's safe, but they want a play that's also an enjoyable watch because it's been far too throwaway for far too long in the NFL where you score a touchdown, you kick the extra point, and you don't have to be back in your seat for the kickoff because you know you're going to get the ball at the 25-yard line. So those are some of the statistics. I found that interesting. All right. Also interesting is Coach Prime. And we've got Dan Zangrilli joining us coming up in about 10 minutes here. The Pirates in last place right now. If they finish in last place, what needs to happen for this organization? We can get into some of that with Dan Zangrilli. But Coach Prime, he had a legendary press conference this weekend. And my God, is he a jackass. I saw this thing all broken down. That guy is a jerk. And he only cares about himself, which we knew. But I didn't know just how far that went. Hey, he coached a team that won three games last year? And he's saying he doesn't want to answer questions from guys who work for CBS,
mm-hmm,
because I think CBS came out with a power ranking where they had him as the 15th coach ranked out of the 16 Big 12 coaches. Again, Big Dog, you were 3-9 last year, but there's a local tie. Deion Hayes transfers, a couple other guys wind up going to Colorado from Pitt, and well, here's what Coach Prime had to say.
In that front is unbelievable. The pass rushers that we have is, Mr. Hayes and Okolola. But first of all, I want to digress a bit and thank the head coach from Pittsburgh for really preparing those young men for us. He did a great job. I love those two young men. They're really great players, and they're going to be pros. And I heard that someone took a shot at one of them verbally. So Mr. Hayes just wanted me to make sure I add that in for him. But thank you, Pittsburgh. I appreciate everything.
Buddy. No one laughed, by the way.
No, it wasn't funny.
There was a lot of that in that press conference. And would be lying to you if I said that I didn't watch the whole thing. Because I saw the cut-ups and then I thought, you know what, I better go and watch this. He's making jokes left and right. No one's laughing. He's abusing reporters left and right. No one's laughing. It was the most arrogant, standoffish press conference that I've ever seen. And we're not talking about Saban. We're not talking about Bill Belichick. We're not talking about Pete DeBoer. We're not talking, I mean, name any mediocre coach. We're not talking about Kirk Ferentz.
Right.
We're talking about a guy that went 3-9.
Mm-hmm. He should focus on his own team.
No doubt.
And just keep Pat Narduzzi, the head coach of the University of Pittsburgh's title, out of his mouth. Because I know Pat Narduzzi's not thinking about damn Deion Sanders right now. He's thinking about winning this year and getting his team prepared. That was just a blatant shot. And this is the, what, second or third time that this has happened?
Yeah, he keeps doing that. And you're right, focus on your own team. Because never before have I seen a team that got everybody's A game that wasn't deserving of getting everybody's A game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it used to be when the Pittsburgh Steelers were coming to town, you had to buckle up your chin straps twice because you know you're getting crushed, and so you need to bring your A game. When Bama comes to town, Penn State comes to town, like big-time programs, Clemson comes to town, you're taking everybody's best shot, right? I thought Colorado got everybody's best shot last year, and they stunk.
Mm-hmm.
And they got everybody's best shot because that guy didn't stop running his mouth. And I thought it would work there. They might be worse than they were last year. And he's parsing comments that the media was making to him, like about the offensive line. Like, oh, there's going to be growth this year. He goes, I don't know what that means. It's just stuff like that. Like,
it just, it, yeah.
He's
just
an arrogant jerk, man. He's an arrogant jerk. And I'm look, Colorado got a lot of eyeballs on him last year. Like, the ratings for Colorado games were very good, and they sold out their spring game and their season ticket allotment. That kind of thing, that's fleeting. That's not forever if you keep losing football games.
Right.
I would take Pat Narduzzi as a head coach of a football program 11 times out of 10
no
over
doubt.
Deion Sanders.
No doubt.
And you might not get a year one ticket increase. You might not get a year one. You're all over national television. I think you're getting better men out of a program, and I think you have a lot better of a chance of winning games in the long run with that guy as opposed to Deion Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, Deion Sanders just keeps putting the pressure on his team to win, and they had the pressure last year, and they couldn't win. So you do it again. I don't know in the right mind why a kid would want to go there, honestly.
I agree.
It's coming from something like there's no chance I would even blink or think about going to Colorado.
I don't
no
think
chance.
He knows the players' names on his team. Like, there was a story not that long ago where he calls them all, like, Deion Kids or something like that. And he knows his son's name, and he knows a couple of the good players' names. Doesn't know anybody else's names.
It's bizarre.
And he was struggling for names of players in the press conference.
It's a reality show. And I think he wants it to be a reality show. But it's, you know, if like you said, if he keeps selling tickets and it doesn't equate to winning games, and he thinks that he's fine. But there comes a time where you got to start winning. So all the talk, all this mess that he's doing, it's going to come down to it.
He is exactly all the stuff that's wrong with college football in 2024, all just wrapped into one nice, neat little package.
The thing is that's wild about it is because he's going to leave right whenever his kids are done. Like, he's not going to stay around. He's not going to stay around Colorado.
He ain't a program builder.
No. Like, from the jump, I was like, this isn't going to work. Had no interest if I was a player coming out of high school or a transfer to even transfer or even to commit there. And look at it. It's a spectacle.
And you know what, man? He is going to leave, just like you said. But he'd be the first guy to crush kids. Oh, you can't hang through adversity. You can't deal with that. He'll be gone in 10 seconds.
10 seconds. Watch.
Dan Zangrilli going to join us next. Pirates right now in last place. What happens if they finish there? What do you do organizationally moving forward? We'll talk to Dan about that when we come back. And Dan is brought to you by the injury lawyers of LGKG. LGKG, Western PA injury lawyers for over 90 years. LGKG.com. All right, we are joined by Dan Zangrilli. And before we get into the baseball talk, which is becoming more and more depressing, I go into the bathroom. Did you see this today, Doran? Middle sink in our bathroom. There's like a dozen little black worms.
What?
In the sink. Yeah.
That's sick.
Coming up from the drain?
They were near the drain, and they were moving.
Nuh-uh.
And then I went in about 20 minutes ago. That's when they were moving. I went in last break, and they weren't moving anymore. which I guess is an improvement, but I don't think that's good.
Was there anybody in there like cleaning it? Or
no, I probably got to tell Amy because that's very gross. And I think that's what happened with Stranger Things, is you have one of those like gooey little worm creatures that became the Demogorgon kind of deal, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not good. You don't want that.
Have you ever heard of snakes coming up through the plumbing and through the toilet?
Yes.
I hear they go on planes too, snakes.
Yeah. Snakes.
Is that a...
Never heard of no
snakes.
Is
that a common thing? Snakes going through the plumbing?
I think.
Have you dealt with this before?
I've not, no.
I would move.
You would?
I would move. Mm. Well, I'd burn the house down, collect the insurance, and then move, yeah.
Fraud, yes.
Yes. I didn't say that on the radio.
Fraud.
Speaking of frauds, hey, your 2024 Pittsburgh Pirates. Hey, woo! Dan, let's just cut to the chase here. Let's fast forward. Let's say they finish where they are right now.
Mm.
In last place.
What's that overall record?
Right now?
No, I mean, let's say they're a last place team. What's their overall record?
70 and what?
92.
Oh, that's...
How about 74 and 88?
That's no good.
What about exactly what they had last year, 76 wins?
That's no good.
So what do you... I mean, you can't come into next season, right? With the general manager and the manager, if you're a last place ball club.
I think they probably will. I think they'll probably make some form or fashion a change, and I don't know if that's more so for optics or if it's just really going to be an overhaul probably of, you know, you're going to look at what went wrong, and I think that we could probably point to more so the offense. Bullpens are a little harder to figure out, and I don't know if you necessarily get a pass on that, but I'm not sure that you hold people to account as much as you do for the offensive shortcomings and the lack of development with some really key offensive players. Because I think on paper, right, you know, any general manager is going to put together a bullpen with guys like Holderman, Chapman, Bednar in the back, and you're going to feel pretty good about that. So, I mean, do people lose their jobs over that? I don't know. But from the offensive perspective, with young, key, controllable guys not getting better, and just where you rank in so many different offensive categories statistically among your peers, that's the stuff that you do get held to account for. I don't think that you're going to move on from the manager. I certainly don't think that you're going to move on from the general manager. But I think a lot of people will absolutely be on notice because you made your boss look bad because the boss came out and he said what he expects. And he put on the record in quotations that they should be in contention until the very end. And obviously, if you're not improving upon your overall record from the year prior, yeah.
Let's be honest right now. You watch every at-bat. You watch every sequence when they're in the outfield. You watch every throw. You watch every catch. Everything that goes on in the baseball game, and you watch it very intently. From what you've seen in the last two, three series, is this team checked out? Especially in the last series.
Yeah, it's a good question. Probably battered, beleaguered. Did I say that was a good question? It really was.
That's why I gave the fist bump.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. We like to attaboy each other around here.
But, yeah, good. Back slaps.
Yes, exactly.
And fist pumps.
And butt slaps.
I like it. It's a good question. Probably more so demoralized than I would say checked out. I mean, they've endured quite a lot from just that tough loss perspective. And do you check out as a result of that? I'm not going to go that far because that's kind of an indictment on the team, and I do like primarily what's been assembled, and I believe that they have that good core. So to go there, that's not where I'm at, but they're obviously playing wounded. I mean, like, spiritually, emotionally.
Is Bednar literally wounded? Like, has he been healthy all year? When you look at the numbers, and I mean, he did have that stretch where he converted a whole bunch in a row, but even some of the time you're holding on your butts, and some of that's just the way it goes down.
Yeah. I mean, that too is a fair question. And I would venture that that's probably more true than not, because most of these issues have been post injured list. So is there something not 100% with him? I bet you that's probably in the cards, but that's probably in the cards with a lot of people in August. But maybe begs a question, a good question, if you will.
Mm. If they continue this, you know, downward spiral, should they shut down Skeens?
No, I don't think they're going to do that, because you obviously, you know, you want him to continue to get better. And I think the league is starting to not figure him out, but they're coming up with some game plans to wear him down, to make him less efficient, and try to all right, let's just have these battle at-bats, foul off pitches, we can spoil that. You know, they've made him over the last handful of starts throw a lot more pitches, and they've really shortened his outings. So I think that that's something that he needs to kind of battle through. So there's some development there that he can continue to do. And you want him to be able to obviously have a substantial workload next year, and this would be build up to that. So do you skip? Do you give that 6 day? Sure, but Pirates have been pretty adamant that regardless of the position, I think that they're gonna run him out there as much as they can.
I assume I'm gonna get a quick answer on this, but your 2025 opening day designated hitter is Andrew McCutchen?
I would think so.
Okay.
I mean, unless you have just a far better alternative, I mean, this guy is probably your third best offensive player. I've scratched my head as to why a lot of folks want to jettison him out of town, or they want to expedite the end of what has turned out to be, if you look at all the statistical categories in Pirates history, who he is in company with, he's one of the greatest Pirates of all time. He's probably a top five Pirate. And we want to bring an end to this. Why? If he were actually playing in the ABS era with an automatic strike ball system, I wonder what his on-base percentage would be.
Boy, he was on his way down to first last night.
I mean, that's case in point.
He had to call timeout to go pick up his bat.
How many called strikes against Andrew McCutchen, I wonder, have not gone his way? He has just an unbelievable sense of the strike zone, the way that he works in at bat. Now, here are the shortcomings. I don't know how much time we have. I mean, he does have a stranglehold on DH. He cannibalizes that. It's really tough. It's pretty clear that he can't play the outfield. He is delicate. He is every bit of 37 physically, I think. The elbows, the knees, the quads. So, I mean, he takes a pitch up and in. He bends his back, and you, like, hold your breath.
Yeah.
So there's that. And in the grand scheme of things, you do have to arrange some deck chairs around him. That can be difficult. Ryan Reynolds could use some DH days. Absolutely. O'Neill Cruz probably could use some DH days, and you're a better defensive club with IKF probably at shortstop. That's the rub there. So I don't know how difficult the decision or discussion is going to be in the offseason, but to turn your back and walk away from that, oh boy, staring contest, me, you, now.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to spend $5 million to get a guy that's the third best hitter on your team this year and was productive before he got hurt last year. I mean, I do think it's ultimately a no-brainer.
I would agree.
When you are making your list of top five Pirates of all time, is Hook Dustin Hoffman number one?
Oh, Pirates.
Real Pirates.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough when Johnny Depp enters the conversation,
man.
Right?
It is tough.
Oh, who's better? Is.
I mean, though Hook, I believe, was one of the first movies I ever saw. Now, All Dogs Go to Heaven, my dad took me to.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember seeing that. That was one of my first movies, too.
Yeah, that was tough.
I'd never go to the movies again.
Itchy the dog, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
He was funny.
You ever see Homeward Bound?
Yep.
Tough watch as well.
Land Before Time was up there.
Yep.
But then, I think, you know, from a PG perspective, once you graduated, took the step from G to PG, I think it was Hook.
Mm-hmm. I could almost recite that whole movie.
Hook?
Yeah.
All right, we'll do it tomorrow for 4 hours.
All right.
Yeah, we'll give you some breathers. We'll talk sports. Between takes.
Okay.
All right, that was another good question, by the way.
Man, we're just all over it today.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. We're good. Yeah.
I think it was my question. You looked adoring.
It was mine.
I'm just saying.
No, it was mine.
Thank you, Dan. Yeah. Appreciate your time.
All the best.
Thanks, Dan.
All the best. All right. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We have pulled a Starkey. We have done a bad job with our clock management, and I was singing this song, and Callis, he recorded me. We did a bad job with the clock right there. We did a bad, bad job with the clock right there. Yes, it was a bad, bad job with the clock right there. It was a bad, bad job with the clock right there. Oh, yeah.
Sound like Peter Griffin.
That's kind of how that sounded upon my re-listening, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we did do a bad job with the clock right there.
We?
I did a bad, bad job with the clock right there. I have my top three Pirates of all time. Are you ready?
Sure.
I got Jack Sparrow, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Uh-huh.
I got Dustin Hoffman and Hook.
Uh-huh.
And I got Steve the Pirate from Dodgeball.
Okay.
Am I missing anybody?
Pirate. Blackbeard.
Yeah, Redbeard. He's up there.
Blackbeard. Yeah. He's real.
Who's Blackbeard?
I think he was a real pirate.
I think Redbeard was a real pirate, too. No, probably blonde beard they had.
Redbeard
White
is,
beard.
Redbeard is a bar.
Good spot, too.
Very good.
Good burgers.
Crab legs.
Mm-hmm. And here's some breaking news, and we're going to talk to this man tomorrow. Mark Caboli just tweeted. A lot of people have been asking us about him today. He put out there publicly, looks like I just became a free agent. If anybody's looking for a veteran Steelers NFL Raider with 22 years of experience, feel free to reach out to me. DMs are open. That sucks. Mark's one of the best in the business.
Yep.
I don't know what the hell happened there, but if it was their decision, then it was really dumb. And if it was his decision, then good luck to you, Mark.
Absolutely.
But good luck either way.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll talk to Mark tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm reading that those worms could be juvenile drain worms.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right. Tomorrow, back at it, 5:40. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet. Up to 7,500 in rebates, terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 80.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.